Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Well, hello and good evening. This is Amy Hackett-Jones here on Being Brilliant, How to Ignite Your Life and Shine. Now, this is a very special episode because I have a very dear friend from university with me today. We reconnected recently, and you're going to hear all about how to be brilliant in a very exciting way, at least exciting for me, and I hope so for you as well. Now, being brilliant is, for me, all about looking how we can show up brilliantly to life, how we can choose to be brilliant moment by moment, day by day. And I think we've got something very special in store today. So, Anna Marie Watson, welcome to the show.
Hi, Amy. Thank you so much for your super kind introduction there. And it's just so lovely to touch base, especially since we were, you know, at university together several years ago now. Time has absolutely flown by.
It has, hasn't it? It's just amazing where it's all gone.
and I love the way that everybody has, you know, done so much in the last kind of, you know, since we're at university, and everyone's gone on their own trajectories, on their own journey, and it's just so interesting just touching base with people and seeing, you know, what they're doing, what they're achieving. It's really inspirational. And just, you know, reconnecting with you and kind of reading through your blogs and your TED Talks has been absolutely amazing.
Oh, well, thank you. And likewise for you, when I started spotting that you know, when we reconnected on Facebook, which is usually the medium through which we all reconnect, isn't it? And then I started reading that you were doing Ironman triathlons and things like that. I was like, wow, I have to reconnect with her because I'm passionate about triathlons too, although slightly shorter distances. So let's just dive into some questions and we will see where this goes. So just tell me a little bit about your background for our listeners so we can understand sort of some part of your journey and how you've got to where you are so far.
Yeah, there's lots of threads that all have, it's just amazing how it all comes together. Though, you know, in a nutshell, a massive passion for the outdoors, and that links back to my childhood, spending most weekends in the Lake District and taken all over the world by my parents. So very much kind of like an outdoors theme, and started from the age of 4 months, pretty much. And then that, I joined the military and I was in the army for 9 years, and that was more a case of I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. As a teenager, I had no idea. A lot of my friends were on that path to be doctors and lawyers and dentists and vets, and they seemed to know from age dot what they wanted to do, and I've kind of been a little bit slower finding my path, so to speak. So it was more, okay, you know, I can join the army, I can travel, I can spend time outdoors, I'm not stuck in an office day on day. I'm kind of keeping my options open, you know, within the military, within the Royal Logistic Corps, there's a lot of choice, and you change roles every couple of years. And ultimately, you're working with people. And that's what it kind of boiled down to. I discovered, you know, I love spending time with people, talking to people, asking questions, listening. And as a young troop commander, what else could I do? Giving advice was a bit beyond me as a 21-year-old. But, you know, I could listen to my guy, you know, whether you're on the vehicle park, kind of getting in the way, you're in Norway doing an Arctic warfare course, or you're kind of sat in the middle of the desert in Iraq, kind of waiting for things to happen. So, you know, the military, it's the green machine has kind of been a big part of my life. I've got, you know, got a lot out of it. I've got a lot of firm friends I met through the military. And now the military network still supports me so much. And leaving was it was a hard choice, but it was the right thing for me to do at the time. It would have been super easy to stay. I literally just stay until I was 55, but I didn't have that drive. I didn't have that motivation. It was actually to leave was a hard and tough challenge. And I still wasn't particularly sure where I was going. So I kind of gave myself my gap year, so to speak. I never had one after university, but I like to think I spent it slightly wiser, traveling the world and cycling down New Zealand and leading various expeditions in Morocco and South America. And all the time, you know, spending time with people, listening to their stories, discovering other cultures and just immersing myself in different people's perspectives. And then, you know, yeah, came back and my last job in the military had been in training development. Thoroughly enjoyed it, that element of bringing people along, supporting them. And my learning and development journey started then. And that's where I kind of sampled coaching, went through the NLP route, branched into coaching, different models, different psychometric tools, started to build up my experience and, you know, worked on different projects with different companies. But then it was only last year, it was like, right, okay, I'm going to cement this with my own business. Let's bring everything together. And it's been a roller coaster ride, I have to admit, and very much, you know, finding my niche and my USP of, you know, inspiring people to reach for more at work, in their training, and, you know, across all areas of their lives. I have a very holistic approach, and I believe that performance, it's all completely interlinked. If you're working with someone, you know, and it's from a work capacity, maybe about leadership, ultimately it'll link across relationships, across their lives, across their approach to, you know, just self-care and nutrition and exercise. It's kind of that big picture, bringing everything together to optimize performance.
That is fantastic. And like you said, it's a very holistic approach. And in some ways we're very similar in that I've always loved to listen to people and travel and be outdoors, and that's the thing as well. So no wonder we connected in such a great way. So tell me a little bit about, you mentioned Reach for More, and I know that's the name of your company. Tell me just a little bit more about that.
Yes, yeah, so I started... And so when I moved back to England, having lived abroad for 6 years, it was, you know, how can I put my stamp on what I do and start working with individuals and companies who are wanting to reach for more, who want to up their game, who are serious kind of innovators, groundbreakers. I find that a lot of companies have lip service to performance management, and it's kind of wheeled out once a year or every 6 months in a form of some random document, and there's no depth to it, there's no conversation, there's no dealing with a person as, you know, the whole person. So they're buying into themselves and the company, and it's kind of mutually supporting. So, you know, I went about, you know, the UK setting up your own business, which in itself was an absolute learning curve, getting the marketing and just having been out the country, reaching out to people as well, getting a network that I could share my knowledge, but that I could support. And every bit of work that I've done has been through, you know, reaching out to people that I knew, maybe in the past through the military, or connections from LinkedIn. And it's very much kind of being involved, being interested, listening and talking to people. And, you know, it all takes time to build up. But some of the people I've connected with have been amazing. And, you know, like-minded individuals who are, you know, wanting to achieve more, but within their, you know, it's their words, it's slightly different, but it's so much mutual support going on.
That's wonderful, and I think in this...
Yeah, no, it's kind of... For example, I'm working with a company, Fresh Air Learning Company, and they're very much about, you know, taking people outdoors, walking and talking, coaching, using nature as a facilitator. So it's taking people outside their environment. We spend so much time in front of a computer, you know, 10, 11 hours a day, which we're not designed to do biologically, and we kind of get stuck and you're in that default mode. So changing the environment, getting, I don't know, like the creative juices flowing when you're out for a walk, and using that to develop new strategies, new perspective, and then taking that back into the work environment.
That's fantastic. And I remember when I first started coaching, my teacher also did the same. And I wondered why at first, but there's so much sort of documented behind it, as you say, like getting out, changing the environment. You get inspired by nature. I think I mentioned, you mentioned in a post just recently that there's always a lesson to be learned from nature. There's always something that can be learned or seen in a new way. Tell me a little bit more about that.
So, I mean, literally yesterday I was out with, walking and talking yesterday in Wiltshire, and the weather here has just been bonkers. It's end of April, but you would have thought that it's winter all over again. I'm so over the cold. But, you know, we wrapped up warm. You know, there's never bad weather, there's just bad equipment. So we headed out up along the ridge line, and the cloud formations were just stunning. And there was almost this one point, I took a photo of it, and it's like this oasis of calm in the middle, and then all this grey cloud kind of around the outside of it. It's like this little kind of white fluffy cloud with blue sky in the middle, and then this big greyness all around it. And the conversation I was having with this guy was very much about, and it reminded me of you, was the being and the doing, and that kind of being, that calm inner being, where you're just being utterly authentic and true to yourself, and then that massive greyness around it where you're kind of just doing and you're caught in that, I don't know, your to-do list and frantically kind of trying to get things done in this 21st century crazy maze that we live in and kind of perpetuate with the negative self-talk at times. So that was like, you know, in a way, a perfect illustration.
Fantastic. That's so exciting. So tell me just a little bit more then about your clients. What kind of clients do you look for, and what are their sort of biggest problems and struggles that you help them overcome?
So I'm looking for clients who, they have that, you know, they've done well, they're successful, they're high performing, but it's like it's not enough. There's that extra inch, extra mile, extra drive. There, you know, they may have plateaued, there's an itch that they kind of can't quite scratch, and it's taking themselves to that next level. And, you know, I want clients who are committed, who have a level of buy-in. And there's been times when I've, you know, met up with individuals to have like the initial kind of conversation, and we've had emails going backwards and forwards. And, you know, if the client isn't engaged and willing to commit, then I don't want to be kind of, you know, dragging someone along, coercing someone along. You know, coaching, it can be pretty raw. It can be tough. It can be difficult. And it's having a client who's, you know, ready to take that next step. You know, yes, you know, I'm there to support and encourage. And, you know, there's times when, you know, sometimes you just want a little bit of sympathy, and, you know, you have that conversation, then you move on to that kind of dynamic, energetic, proactive position where you're basically upping your game.
Fantastic.
So the clients that I meet, they're generally, you know, professionals within a career path. They want to go to the next level of leadership potentially. So sometimes, you know, their perception of leadership, their communication skills, their management of themselves, their management of a team, those are the kind of themes that crop up. Or they're in a, you know, been in a corporate role for a certain amount of time, their work-life balance just isn't working out. How can they move into a consultancy role or set up their own business or emigrate? So there's, you know, there's that transition, there's that change. And in a way that resonates with me, having gone through that period of change myself, having been, you know, within the military, being in a very, you know, kind of quite structured, disciplined, process-orientated, logical environment, to then leave and then, you know, set up my own business and kind of switch fire. And it's been reflected in my coaching practice as well. When I started, I was, you know, extremely comfortable, kind of goal-orientated, A to B, okay, where do we want to go? How are we going to get there? What are we going to do? But, you know, the classic kind of project management transactional coaching. But as my coaching knowledge and experience has deepened, it's been, you know, kind of that digging deep. It's been having a rummage around, that dance between the past and the present. And now, you know, for sustainable transformational change, it's that brutally honest. Right, you know, let's have a look in the past. What, you know, what has been holding back? Okay, appreciate it and then let it go.
I love the way you put that about being brutally honest. it's that digging deep to, you know, to face our fears that most people don't want to go to. But then when they do, like you say, it then becomes something obvious in a way. It's sort of something that they... Like they've removed a boulder. How do you see that they feel about that when they've sort of the lights go on? How does that materialize for them? Do you think?
Well, being able to accompany somebody through that is, I don't know, it's enlightening, and I learn as much from my clients. Every coaching relationship, I just, you know, the parallel processing that goes on. The transference, and it's just that constant reflection and back on myself and the self-awareness. And it's one of those, you know, people go, oh, that's so obvious. And often afterwards it is, but at the time it's not. And I don't know, with my kind of journey and of self-discovery, I kind of liken it to a cave. With all these kind of nooks and crannies, and it's completely pitch black. And when you're coaching, you have that torch, and you're like, you know, you're searching, and you're stripping back more, you're revealing more and more of yourself. But there's always more, and the more you kind of connect in with your own conscious, it's just kind of linking to that genuine you at the heart of it.
Yeah, fantastic. And you're based in the UK, aren't you?
So I'm now based in the southwest for the moment. I have been a bit of a nomad over the last few years, it has to be said. And pretty much moved every 18 months to 2 years, which I find every time I move, it takes a lot of energy to settle and build new networks, new relationships. So I'm looking at staying in the southwest for a slightly longer amount of time, should we say. You know, I still do love to travel. I've got a place in France I go to. My husband's, he's got from Malta. So I love to travel, and I find that is what broadens the mind. And okay, so I'm in the southwest. But actually, I have conversations with people from all over the world. And drawing with, you know, connecting with people from India, from China, from America, from Canada, New Zealand, it's the different perspectives. That's what opens your mind.
Absolutely.
And even now, you know, Bristol's on the doorstep, pop to London, up to Scotland. So it's that kind of local, global neighbourhood that we live in nowadays.
I just love that. So do you have clients that you deal with on Skype or on the internet somehow? Are they abroad as well, or are they mostly based in the UK?
Yes, so connections via Skype and working through the time zones can be a bit tricky at times, it has to be said. Particularly when you get the clocks going forward and just kind of double checking everything. And you know, Skype and Zoom are, you know, they're amazing platforms, and coaching just through voice, it's amazing what you can pick up on just through that. You know, a large part of, you know, my coaching training was very much face to face, body language, rapport, and that side of things, picking up on the non-verbal. But actually, verbal coaching through Skype can be just as deep, and when you're fully present with a client, you know, the energy that is being transferred thousands of kilometers and you're holding that space, it's just, you know, it's just as special, it's just as magical.
Isn't it just amazing? I do love that experience. And I find, do you find as well that sometimes people are a bit sort of concerned about Skype and not doing it in person and that sort of thing, but once they try it, they absolutely love it.
And it's just that, it's that hurdle, and I find it with walking and talking as well, if people haven't done it before, and it's like, I'm not sure about this, and, you know, some people, like, I attract clients who have a passion for the outdoors, and actually, you know, all our passions are outside, but other clients, you know, will start off maybe on Skype, maybe in person, and then it'll be, you know, actually just, do you fancy trying it? And, you know, I had one guy who was like, I'm a bit nervous about it and having to walk and think about walking and where do I put my feet and what do I do and how do I, and then he goes, I said, I just kind of went with it and actually it just kind of flowed. Like, yeah, that's what it's all about.
Amazing. Okay, fantastic. So what do you think, I just had one more question before I go into that one, and I've also been away a lot and I've come back to the UK. We've had very similar paths in that sense. How do you find the coaching industry in the UK at the moment?
Do you think
people are open to it? Or?
It's been a little bit of a pet survey, it has to be said. I've been very much getting out about and meeting people and connecting, and I have met more coaches than people who have a desire or curiosity to be coached. And the coaching profession, it's at a very interesting time. It's almost has been this massive explosion, which is great for awareness. But the regulation of the industry itself, it's kind of maintaining that quality level. And it's something I'm a purist through and through, and I take my coaching development so seriously of, you know, keeping up on the International Coach Federation, keeping up with the Chartered Institute of Personal Development in the UK, going to conferences, reading, blogging, writing, connecting with other coaches and co-coaching, having a supervisor, and making sure that professionally I'm doing everything that I possibly can to, you know, further my growth, which then supports my clients. There are options to go and do random coaching courses online that you can sign up for. And, ooh, ta-da, I'm a coach. And it's that education within the coaching profession. Okay, so there are coaches, there are coaches. And just making sure that you kind of model your profession. I love the fact that organizations are getting more on board and they're looking to foster this kind of coaching culture. But a lot of the time it's still for that remedial kind of, ooh, that person, there's something wrong with them. They need fixing. Let's mend them. Ooh, we'll bring a coach in. And how can we integrate coaching within the entire culture? How can it be part of the performance management, the talent management, and bring it all together? So you're getting that shift in mindset. And, you know, that big picture stuff, and I kind of appreciate that. And it's kind of, okay, taking steps to support that. And I've been doing some work with a company, the Waves Training Solutions, and they are very much looking at, you know, supporting their employees and modeling within their organization what the service they can then offer to other companies, which, you know, is exciting. I'm delighted to be working with them, and that's quite unusual. I've been lucky to stumble across them, so to speak.
That's fantastic. Wow. And it's definitely, like you say, there is a bit of a more awareness and a bit of a shift going on in, you know, across, I think globally, people are becoming more and more aware. And I think the more that happens, the better. As one coach I came across recently said, his sort of mission is to get the world coached.
Completely. I believe that everybody would just perform so much better at work and life with a coach. And it's one of those, when you've been coached properly, you have that insight, actually, as to what it can do. And, you know, I remember when I left the army, and I had no idea what coaching was. And if someone had presented the idea of coaching to me, and this is completely my perception or my judgment, I would have been, nope, I don't need to coach. I can do this by myself. I'm completely independent. I know exactly what I'm doing, when really I didn't have a clue. But it was for me, in a way, to kind of maneuver myself to the starting point to be, you know, get the most out of coaching. And I love the work of Stuart Hayden. He's done a lot of work on coachability, and it's, you know, looking at, rather than, you know, what skills has the coach got, what process is the coach using, actually spin it on its head, and it's all about the client. Okay, so how coachable is that client at that moment in time? And then when you're onboarding them, doing it so they understand, you know, the challenge involved, what kind of works with goals, what about questions, what about, you know, networks, and getting that all aligned, so then they're getting, well, ultimately, the best ROI from coaching.
Absolutely. That's amazing. So tell me a little bit more then about your clients and their, because we mentioned the period of transition. What is their biggest pain point when they come to you?
Pain point.
What are they most sort of concerned about under the initial, you know, when you peel back a few layers and you get to the pain point, because it's not always immediately obvious, at least in my case or my understanding. What is it that they sort of they come to you for in the end? How do you help them solve it?
So it's kind of peeling it back. It's that letting go and the fear of letting go and facing what be beneath and how that then conflicts with potentially everything that they've created. And how to face up to that, how to communicate that, and kind of, you know, not admit, you know, or I've been wrong, I've got it wrong. And the path that people end up on in life, is it of their choosing, or has it been a series of events that they've reacted to? And then actually working with somebody, and you know, a lot of the time it's that time, it's that safe place without judgment and the power of silence. And with this doing 21st May doingness kind of preoccupied, kind of, you know, running from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, actually having that silence, it can be uncomfortable. It can be quite gritty. And just holding that, because that's when it's having that brutal exploration of, okay, what is my purpose? Actually, is everything that I've constructed and everything that I'm doing, it's not satisfying me? Is it all completely pointless? And actually, that can be kind of scary, you know, connecting to the worthlessness, and it's just all a bit pointless. So it's kind of going and holding that space, and then providing the support, and then kind of co-creating the future.
That's just brilliant what you've described there. It's really looking at that sort of that sense of getting people to that sense of empty and meaninglessness, like revealing that. And then, you know, like you were saying, people begin to question their purpose. In fact, my previous interview 2 weeks ago, Stephen, the guy I interviewed, said, you know, we're entering the age of purpose. And I just thought that was fantastic. You know, we've been through the industrial age and the information age, and we're now entering the purpose, the age of purpose. And when he said that, I thought, gosh, you're so right. There are so many people now beginning to wonder what their purpose is in life. How for you, for your clients, when, or even perhaps for you, but if you could share that for me, when you did find your purpose, how did that feel for you?
And this, it links back to some of the reflections I did during a course, embraining.
So
it's, you know, it's working with the head, the heart, and the gut. And, you know, within Western society, we spend, you know, 60% of our time more stuck in our head. And that's where, you know, the brain and the information age, and you kind of have that pleasure in all this information, all this stuff that you can distract yourself with. And I love what you said there about how now, actually, a result of that, coming through that, is going to this age of purpose, because it's almost, it's like a reaction of this, you know, this age of information. It's kind of, it's like a monster almost. What have we created? And then actually, how can we save ourselves and bring it back? You know, a lot of the time, it's bringing it back to basics, and it's having that appreciation of ourselves, of our surroundings, and taking time for other people. So it is, it's that self-care, taking time, whether it's reading, and I, a lot of my clients are like, but that's so indulgent, you know, how could I set aside that time to, you know, just go for a walk, and just go for a walk, don't listen to a podcast, you know, don't even every time go with somebody, just on your own, go for a walk, and look at the surroundings, take in the view, or go with your partner and have a proper conversation. You know, put Facebook aside, put Twitter aside, leave your phones at home, and just go for a walk.
It is that, and in that stillness, in that beingness, that being present, that especially if you've started coaching and you've had that chance to really listen to your inner self talk, those moments of silence can be really quite revealing, can't they?
Yeah, and I do. I've just done a series of workshops with a company, and it ran over, you know, 5 workshops over again every other week, and I'd start off each session using Headspace, which the app I love that. And I started each session with it, and just getting the reactions of the participants, you know, first time round, it's like, oh, self-conscious, oh, I can't, oh, shut it, oh, I'm not sure about this, oh, I can't switch off, oh, to do this, did it, all these thoughts kind of running around my head. And, you know, I was encouraging the clients to use it, like, in between sessions, and it was just listening to the feedback and how, you know, more comfortable people were. But, you know, clearly at different levels of the spectrum, but definitely across the board, everybody had learned and gained from the experience. So, you know, I kind of sometimes have a little, oh, I'm doing a new workshop, and I did one, it was a couple of weeks ago, with 20 people. I was like, right, nope, I'm going to go for it. This is like, it forms like a level playing field. So whatever people have been doing to get to that moment in time, whatever email they've been rushing off, or argument they've had in the morning, or the car won't start, or they need to defrost it and they hadn't expected it, and just having that 10 minutes at the beginning of a session, even before you've made introductions or anything, it just changes the energy of the entire session.
Absolutely, that's fantastic. I love that. okay, so we're going to add now, we're going to go into your song that you've chosen. that really uplifts you. And I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. Before we go there, just let me know, how can people get in touch with you on whether it's Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn? What's the best way to get in touch with you?
Twitter is always a good one. I kind of like to tweet a few times a day and kind of check out what's going on in the Twitter sphere. So my Twitter handle is RFMCHING. So that's Reach for More Coaching, RFM Coaching. There's my website, which is www.rfmcoaching.com. And I'm also on Facebook, Reach for More with a little full stop at the end. I'd love to hear from your listeners and kind of just get some, you know, what are their thoughts? What are their ideas? And what's their experience of coaching been? Always love to connect with people from across the world. And, you know, I've learned so much from being a part of social media. And it's amazing what you can kind of find out and events that you can go to. And, yeah, so much learning to do.
I know, it's a whole new world out there, isn't it? Okay, so let's go into this song. And I have to say, I do absolutely love this song myself. Now, I'll let you introduce it. I'd like you just to talk about it as well as to why you chose this one, why it's so important for you, and what is the effect that it has on you? Just tell me a little bit about that.
I have to say, this question, when you sent through like a little bit of information before the our chat, was like, oh no, I'm stumped. This one's difficult. There's so many. I love listening to music. And I was kind of stripping it back. And this one, when I was living in Germany, I was still in the military, and the role I was in, one of the guys that I was working with was quite a character, and the kind of the team dynamics between us was hard. And I'd get to the end of the day sometimes just wanting to just crawl under a stone or run away, throw it all in, and I found it really tough. For me, the outdoors and running has always been a release. So I kind of, you know, count the minutes down to the end of the day to escape and get the earphones in and then set off around the airfield. And Eminem, I just, his the beat to his album 8 Mile and the rawness in there, it just kind of gave me that motivation and that determination to kind of, right, okay. And the words that just always kind of resonated with me from his song Lose It were, look, if you had one shot or one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted, in one moment, would you capture it or just let it slip? And then it kind of moves on, you know, the world is mine for the taking. You can do anything you set your mind to. And it would give me a kick. It would get me back up again and be like, right, nope, I've not been knocked down. I'm back fighting. Thank you very much.
Beautiful. And with that, we'll go right into the song.
Opportunity seize everything you ever wanted in one moment. Did you capture it? Just let it slip. Yo, his palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti, he's nervous, but on the surface, he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud, he opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's choking, how? Everybody's choking now. The clock's run out, time's up, over, plow. Snap back to reality, oh, there goes gravity. Oh, there goes rabbit, he choke. He's so mad, but he won't give up, daddies. He know he won't have it, he knows. His whole back to these ropes, it don't matter. He's dope, he knows that, but he's broke. He's so stagnant, he knows when he goes back to this mobile home. That's when it's back to the lab again, yo. This old
spit out and booed off stage. But I kept priming and stepped right in the next cipher. Best believe somebody's paying the Pied Piper. All the pain inside amplified by the fact that I can't get by with my 9 to 5. And I can't provide the right type of life for my family. Cause man, these food stamps don't buy diapers. And there's no movie, there's no Mackay Pfeiffer. This is my life and these times are so hard. And it's getting even harder trying to feed and water my seed. Plus, see the thought I caught up between being a father and a prima donna. Baby mama drama screaming on her too much for me to want to stay in one spot. Another damn monotony's gotten me to the point I'm like a snail. I've got to formulate a plot or end up in jail or shot. Success is my only option. Failure's not. Mama, love you, but this trailer's got to go. I cannot grow old in Salem's lot. So here I go, it's my shot. Feet fail me not. This may be the only opportunity that I got. You better lose yourself in the music the moment you own it. You better never let it go. You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better lose yourself in the music the moment you own it. You better never let it go. You only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. You better.
Okay, so Anne-Marie, this is just us pausing, and Michael will insert it later, okay, before we upload it.
Yeah.
So we're now we'll go back as though the song has finished, and then we'll carry on our conversation, okay? Wow, that was just so powerful. It was wonderful to listen to that again, because I remember when I first listened to it too, and it does have that ring, that kick, as you said earlier on. Absolutely fantastic. And if anybody wants to go back and listen to that, you can download it from iTunes. That's Eminem's song Lose It from his track 8 Mile. Sorry, from his album 8 Mile. Thank you so much for sharing that song. It's been a while since I heard it, and it's so powerful. And like you say, absolutely true, that the words that you picked out were just fantastic. Look, if you had one shot or one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted in one moment, would you capture it or just let it slip? The world is mine for the taking. You can do anything you set your mind to. And within the coaching realm, at last, you can do anything you set your mind to. When we take people out of their vicious circle that they often find themselves in, it's like a whole new possibility emerges for them, their lives both personally and professionally. So my next question for you links back to, what do your clients dream about that you can then help them achieve? What is it that they really dream about deep down?
It ultimately boils down to two things, and it's having that. And this is not these are my words that are kind of categorizing the two big things, because often it's the words and the descriptions and the uncertainty that my clients kind of don't really know, and they kind of come with all these stories, and then it's working through the stories to identify the kind of the underlying common themes. And the two of them ultimately are inner happiness and peace. And that's not what someone would, you know, if I was working with someone in a work, you know, in a business environment, that's not the words that would come out of their mouth, but it's that thing that, and it is, it's coming down to the feelings. It's a feeling. It's that gut feeling. It's not that logical head ding, 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 ding. No, it's a feeling. Okay, ground the feeling. Get in touch with your feelings. And actually, just for someone to admit they have feelings at times in a work environment, that in itself is like, whoo, that's big. In admitting that, yeah. That's, whoo, yeah.
I love that you just said that. Because I've found the same thing, and I think other coaches that I speak to are finding the same thing these days, that we live, as you were saying before, we live so much in that head, in the headspace, and so little from the heart and from the gut, you know, trusting our inner instincts, trusting the gut. But when we peel back those layers, what we all really want is that sense of happiness and that sense of peace that in this hurly-burly of social media and sort of modern, fast-paced life, we lose all connection to that. So helping people to bring that back.
The pressure that people put on themselves, or the expectations that they've created that are placed upon them, that just get perpetuated, and reinforced, and ingrained, and embedded, breaking free of them is like you've got those chains. And actually, at the beginning of coaching, you know, does your client have the tools to actually break the chains? And it kind of taking the metaphor a step further, is like actually the awareness of the chains in the first place, kind of thing.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Wonderful. So my next question for you is referring back to the title of this radio show, and really what I'm hoping to bring about through these shows and interviewing people whom I consider brilliant myself, is what is being brilliant for you? What is that essence of, you know, somebody, or how you show up to life? What is being brilliant for you?
And the brilliant word is an interesting one, I don't know, for me, and the way that I interpret it, and brilliant, I'm like, oh, brilliant. I'm not brilliant. No, brilliant. Oh, and I say, right, okay, just stop. Go and have a look and see what it means. So I actually did a little bit of Googling. Okay, so brilliant. What does it actually mean according to the dictionary? And I was like, right, okay. It was what? Extremely skilled or knowledgeable or talented. And I was like, oh, okay. Does that apply to me? I'm like, okay, right. So endurance racing-wise, I'm like, actually, I am. Coaching-wise, no, I am. I'm like, okay, so yeah, I am. And then the other definition, which I loved as well, the second one was, what was it? Shining, brightly, sparkly, and glittery. I was like, oh, I love that. Just having that kind of little gem that actually, that is, you know, I do. I want to sparkle in the world. I want to put it out there that actually, you know, this is my life. I'm reaching for more in my life across all areas. I'm giving it my everything, and kind of, you know, we've only got one life. Let's go for it. Don't kind of hide away. Put it out there. And for me, this still kind of links back to, you know, some of my limiting beliefs when I've kind of been like, oh, I'm not good enough.
That's a classic, that one, isn't it? I'm not good enough.
And I did some work with a coach, an amazing, amazing lady, and I've got written up, like, in my office, I am amazing. I've got it on the fridge in my magnets. And it's having that, actually, right. You know, if I can't put it out there, you know, I'm amazing, I'm brilliant, then why would the rest of the world take note? If you can't stand there and genuinely go, I'm amazing, I am brilliant, no one else is going to think that you are.
Absolutely. I love that you just said that. And I love that you described that, your process of thought as well, because when I sent you, you know, the blurb for the radio show and that question specifically, I love that you went away and looked at it, because, you know, in my eyes, you're brilliant. That's why I asked you onto the show. But in your eyes, you had to walk through that a little bit and just and look at it. And that's, yeah, as a coach, that's exactly what we help our clients to do as well. That's exactly what we ask of them. And I just love that you actually talked about that just then, because that shows that you put into practice what you actually teach. You know, you walk your talk.
And it is, and it's like, that's the thing, as a coach, your journey is still unfolding, and I've continued to see myself grow, as, you know, I've done so much over the last 8 months, 12 months, 2 years, 5 years, 6 years, and actually, wow, looking ahead, it's pretty exciting. It's scary, don't get me wrong, it's a bit daunting, you never quite know what's around the next corner, but, you know, if we didn't change, if we didn't grow, if we just stayed in the same place, God, it would be boring. And in a way, I kind of, you know, I link it to, I've always been kind of quite a private person. I haven't really put much out there on social media. I've not used it as a platform, and it's actually been a concerted, actually, no, what I do is, it's different. Why not tell people around it about it? And in a way, I kind of kick myself of like a missed opportunity last year when I went and did the Marathon des Sables. And like, literally, I had a Twitter account, but it was the most random handle that no one had ever heard of. I think I'd sent about 2 tweets. I think I'd told many people that I was doing Marathon des Sables. And then, you know, I did so well. I was second. There's only been one other Brit who's kind of done as well.
Just for a moment, I want you to tell people what the Marathon des Sables is, just in case there's somebody out there who doesn't know, because this is an incredible feat of endurance. Just tell us what it is.
So the Marathon des Sables is a six-day endurance race through the Sahara Desert in Morocco. It happens every April. You get a migration of ultra runners from across the world, and it sells out within seconds. The demand is immense. And last year was the 30th anniversary. There was 1,300 people. And yes, you run basically the equivalent of six marathons back to back, carrying everything apart from the tent and water. So you're pretty much self-sufficient. So it's tough. I mean, the longest day is about 90 kilometers. And then the other days are, you know, 35, 35, 35, a marathon. So, it's that multi-day event, which it's not just about the running, it's about your nutrition, it's about your hydration, it's about the recovery. So it's so important to kind of dial in and get everything kind of to the detail, to the T, so to speak. And the amount of preparation in the build-up is just, yeah, it's all in that preparation. If you kind of do that preparation, then it's going to be a lot easier on the day. Amazing events. I had complete jealousy of everybody who was racing this year, and had total fear of missing out. And I had to go and kind of console myself, so to speak, with another race along the south coast in Dorset, along the Jurassic coast, which was only three marathons back to back, and that was within a 24-hour time frame. So that was my little, okay, you're not doing MDS, but you're doing the Warner. And, you know, I managed to get I won that and set a new course record from what I can tell looking at previous results, which is, you know, a great start to the 2016 season. So I'm pretty stoked about that.
Yeah. Three marathons back to back in 24 hours. Wow.
kind of linking that back to the social media, I'd never tweeted about, you know, what I did, about my running or anything. And I kind of, in a way, missed out on having that kind of marketing promotion exposure, you know, sharing what I've done, the journey that I've been through to get to that point. Because it has been like, you know, it's been a 15-year journey doing up to MDS. And then, you know, the amount of time and the training and getting my nutrition right, the support from my partner, from my coach, it's a massive big journey. And just being able to kind of share that with others and sharing my kind of expertise and my knowledge, it would have supported others. So now I'm very much right, no, all over Twitter, all over Facebook. So anybody wanting to connect, I'd love to reach out.
Yeah, and you have such an inspirational story. And these are what I find more and more with the power of social media is that people they want to know the real you. They want to, you know, they want to feel that you're building that know, like, and trust factor with them. And people relate to you so much more when you've shared something personal about yourself rather than just your sort of your marketing gig, which is also why I sort of started this radio show, to help people showcase what it is they do, the brilliance in what they do. And, you know, you epitomize everything that this show is about. So thank you. thank you for being here.
Thank you for reaching out and inviting me on, and just, you know, being able to kind of discuss performance coaching and spreading, you know, the word about coaching and what it genuinely means. And as you say, having that, putting yourself out there as a person, just being completely honest, putting your hand up, look, I'm Anna Marie, this is my business, Reach More. I practice what I preach. I model, I walk the walk. I don't just talk the talk. And it's almost that blur between my business and me. It's like I can't split it because it's a part of me. And it's having that authenticity and putting it out there, which, you know, it comes back to that, yes, you know, that's scary. Not everyone's going to like what I'm putting out there. But then ultimately, you know, I don't want to work with everybody. And I know that my style doesn't work with everybody, but others just, bam, yeah, they get it. Right, okay, let's reach peak performance. Let's unlock and unleash your true potential and go for it.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. Okay, so I have another question for you here. What are your top three insights, or your top three tips, should I say, for being brilliant? In your field of experience, what are the top three things that our listeners could walk away with today?
Top three things. Okay, so I would say, and this links to kind of high performance, you know, be it work, be it life, be it training, is very much dream big. Don't settle for second best.
Mm-hmm.
Feel the fear and do it anyway.
Great, I love that expression.
And then everyone knows something you don't. Listen. And I love that quote. Everyone knows something you don't. And just as I go around my daily life, just it encourages me to just be considerate of others and just take the time and connect. And I won't admit by any means that I'm kind of like fully there on all these things, but they're just as much a reminder to myself to just go for it. And, you know, I can apply them to kind of my training when I'm out running, doing a session that I'm finding super tough, like some speed work. And it's just like, okay, it's going to hurt. Feel the fear. Just do it. Go it. Okay. Right. Or kind of working on business strategies moving forwards. I'm like, right, okay, dream big, just put it out there. And I do find again and again, and this is me kind of going big picture, spiritual universe, it's amazing when you set your intent, actually what then falls into your lap almost. You know, at the end of last year, I was like, cause I love listening to podcasts, I was like, it'd be really nice to do, you know, a few podcasts and maybe, you know, kind of connect and kind of reach out. And you know, since then, I've been on Zestology, chatting to Turner Wrighton, who's, you know, an amazing guy. I've been working with the Running Stories, doing like a regular Mind Over Matter slot. And then you kindly reached out as well. So it's like, wow, okay.
That works.
It does. There'll be more to follow.
Yeah, absolutely. And talking of that, do you have any upcoming launches or any programs or any walks out in the fresh air that you're posting? Where can people find these?
So just kind of continuing there on the podcast theme, the Running Stories. So I've been working with them, kind of doing Mind Over Matter, on the premise that within running, people spend so much money on equipment, coaching, nutrition. And actually, it's the mind that kind of gets forgotten about. And ultimately, when you're racing, or mm-hmm. actually just training consistently, it's the mind that's going to push you and drive you.
Yes.
When you're reaching that wall, you know, on the marathon, maybe last weekend or so, it's the mind that's going to get you there, not your body. It's that focused determination. So that's for me as well, just being able to pull from my experiences and share that with their listeners is a really exciting venture. So that's the podcast. And then within the Southwest, I've been running networks. So this stemmed from the new to the area, getting out, meeting people, networking, which are pretty much in some, I don't know, pub, restaurant, golf club, business conference, wherever, over breakfast, which is just fried nastiness, or warm wine in the evening. And I'm, you know, that just doesn't really fit my schedule. So it's like, right, okay, how can it be a much more natural, relaxed environment? Actually, let's take people outdoors, put a coaching framework to it. So you've got a theme, you've got some coaching questions to encourage conversation, and then just let it flow. So we've got, yeah, some networks kind of in Bath and Devizes, and they're either during the day or in the evening. They're on the website all through Eventbrite. So I'd love to see people come along. And then looking forward to September, I'm in partnership with the Fresh Air Learning Company. We've got a coaching journey through the Scottish Highlands along the West Highland Way in September. It's called Highland Hack. And basically, it's going to be a small group of six business leaders who, you know, they're game changers. They're looking to up their game. And they're wanting to come around, thrash some ideas around. You know, it can be lonely at the top. And this is providing space for them to bounce ideas off other, you know, CEOs, CFOs, and then go back refreshed, invigorated. And ultimately, they've expanded their network as well. So that's pretty exciting. And there'll be other work with Fresh Air Learning Company on more day and half day walks as well throughout the UK. So those are the three main areas that I'd love your listeners to keep an eye out for.
Wonderful. And just to reiterate your Twitter handle, it's at RFM Coaching. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. We've now run out of time, just about. was there one more thing you wanted to add there?
Yes, I do. I feel really a bit bad about just putting it in at the end. So,
okay, for it.
My partner's a triathlon coach. He's an Ironman certified coach. So he has clients taking them from, you know, absolute beginners up to, you know, doing that first Ironman, or then getting your Ironman time down. So he works as an associate with Reach for More, and his Twitter handle is RFM Sports. So it very much kind of complements the Reach for More brand within the endurance racing side of things. So yeah, RFM Sports.
Great. I'm so glad you put that in there at the end.
So
if there's anyone out there. No, that's great. Bring it on. I'm a triathlon junkie too, so the more triathlon junkies we create, the better, as far as I'm concerned.
I know.
It's wonderful.
Slippery slope.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. It's been a huge pleasure reconnecting with you and seeing where you've come on this incredible journey, doing the marathon for Sabla, doing, you know, 3 marathons in 24 hours and getting the world record for it. I mean, that's just amazing. You are amazing. You are brilliant.
Thank you.
So thank you so much. I hope to connect with you in London soon, and thank you very much.
No, definitely. It would be lovely to catch up face-to-face as well. Hopefully our schedules will allow it in the near future.
Absolutely. Awesome. Thank you. See you soon. Bye for now.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want.
Ah, the snooze button, our old friend. You've showed us patience, postponing the monotony of morning traffic, putting off the bland and boring breakfast for just 5 more minutes. Thank you for all you've done, but your services are no longer required. There is finally a breakfast worth waking up for. The triple cheese and hash brown breakfast burrito with provolone, cheddar, pepper jack, and a crispy hash brown. Now get any 2 burritos for $4 at Jack in the Box. Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Hey, I'm a helpful Southern California Honda dealer. You might know us from our random acts of helpfulness. This summer, we'll be helping SoCal residents beat the heat with free ice-cold treats from our helpful ice cream truck. And during the Honda Summer Clearance event, we can help you too, with a great deal on a reliable, award-winning Honda, like the 2016 CR-V LX, a 2016 IIHS top safety pick. Click the dealer locator link to find a dealer near you and go to SoCalHondaDealers.com to suggest a random act of helpfulness for someone you know.